Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
This episode is brought to you by Hallo, the number one Catholic app. Hallo has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallo meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallo.com/breadbox.
There and welcome to the Gary Zimek Show. My name is Gary Zimek. Come on in and make yourself at home. I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes, and I really hope you'll be able to pull up a chair and hang out with me as we look at the Mass readings for the second Sunday of Easter, otherwise known as Divine Mercy Sunday. I think the message that the Holy Spirit is laying on my heart through these readings today is this: blessed are the believers. You know, and not only, and what does it mean to believe? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he rose from the dead? Do you believe that he's active in your life? Do you believe that he's with you now? And then if you do, and here's the tricky part, and I think this is what the readings will get at today. If you do believe, what response do you make? You know, it's one thing to say, I believe in Jesus, but what does that really mean? Does that mean that you listen to him? And does that mean that you take his word seriously and respond in some way? And I think you'll see, we'll look at everything. We'll look at what it means to believe. We'll look at what it means to respond. And we're also going to look at his mercy, because this is Divine Mercy Sunday. The second Sunday of Easter is Divine Mercy Sunday. I also want to tell you, wish you a happy Easter. Remember, Easter lasts for 50 days. It's not a one-and-done deal. It's not just on Sunday. It's 50 days. So you're going to be hearing a lot from me in the weeks to come about Easter. Let's enjoy this. Let's rejoice. Let's celebrate the risen Christ. Let's let his resurrection just literally permeate every area of our lives. This is big news. Not only do we have the ability to live forever in heaven, not only will our bodies literally rise from the dead one day at the second coming of Christ, but we have the ability to put his resurrection power into practice in our lives. He wants to lift us up from the hopelessness. He wants to take away our fear, our anxiety. He wants to forgive our sins. This is all good news. So let's rejoice. Let's be glad. Let's say alleluia. I'm sure you're going to hear that word come out of my mouth several times during the next 30 minutes. So again, settle in. It's so great to be back with you here. I hope you had a fantastic Easter. The octave of Easter just wrapped up. And I hope you're ready to continue the celebration. Again, this is too big to be confined to one day. The Lord's resurrection is, it's really the entire basis of our faith. So as we go on through the upcoming weeks, it's going to be tricky to maintain that spirit of joy, to keep rejoicing, because the Lord is risen. He's a risen Savior. It's tricky. It becomes tricky because the world doesn't necessarily give you that message that he is risen. We should keep celebrating Easter for more than just one day. The world's done with Easter, if it celebrates at all, on Easter Monday, right? But as Christians, as Catholic Christians, we're going to be doing this for 50 days. So it's a big deal. Glad to have you with me. Let's pray right now. Let's turn to our Heavenly Father. Let's give him some praise. Let's give him some thanks. And let's also ask him to help us with all that we need help with. And you know what? Because he's merciful, and he is, he wants to help us, and he will help us. So please join me, and let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, alleluia. We celebrate, Father, the resurrection of your Son. We're going to keep doing that for several more weeks. Father, it's so great to be in your presence. We know that you're with us right now. We know, Father, that you love us. We know that you are all powerful. Father, we know that no plan of yours can be stopped. But we realize that sometimes, because of free will, you allow people to do things, evil things, and cause problems, apparent problems, for others. We know that because we live in an imperfect world, a world that involves sickness, a world that death is a part of, we know that sometimes we get rattled by things, circumstances that really shake us. But Father, that doesn't stop your plan from unfolding. And that's the amazing thing about you, and that's the thing that those of us who have limited human intelligence struggle with, because we're never going to be able to understand you, Father. But we praise you for the fact that you can always work good out of all situations. You can take the most serious evil and work it for good. And the resurrection of your son, Jesus, is proof of that. Father, we lift up all of our needs to you today. You know what we need. Please grant our needs. Grant us the grace to remain free from sin. Grant us the grace to always stay hopeful, always be at peace. Grant us the ability to have greater confidence in you. Father, we ask you to pour out your Spirit upon us. I ask you to use me, Father, as your instrument this day. Use me as your instrument so that I can share the message that you wish us to hear today. And please, Father, open all of our hearts and all of our minds to be receptive to your message. Almighty God, I ask you these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thanks for praying with me. Hey, wanted to remind you, again, my name is Gary Zimek. You're listening to The Gary Zimek Show. We come to you once each week, and I'm so blessed that you're able to hang out with me for this 30-minute program. I wanted to remind you that my new book, Give Up Worry for Good, is now available. If you want to pick up a copy, the easiest thing to do is go right to my website, followingthetruth.com. Just look for the little image there. You're not going to be able to miss it. That'll send you right over to Amazon. You'll be able to pick up a copy today. You're going to be hearing more about the book as we go forward. I've been so focused on Lent that I've been concentrating more on my book, Give Up Worry for Lent. But now we're past Lent. We want to keep this process going. If you're somebody that struggles with anxiety, I think you'll really... And you know, we're not talking about clinical anxiety, the anxiety that requires possibly treatment from a professional. What I'm talking about is your everyday tendency to worry. And that can be pretty crippling, too, as I've experienced in my life. Your ordinary worry can be something that's not really that ordinary sometimes, and it can really cripple you. But the whole essence of this book is it's a daily devotional. It's an 8-week program to give you the ability to learn to trust, to turn to the Lord more, and to start walking with him and moving away from worry. So the book is Give Up Worry for Good. You can find out more by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. I wanted to finish that sentence before I went for my water. Let me do that now. But I knew it wasn't going to happen. I felt the cough coming, and I said, all right, I'm going to go for it. Well, that didn't work. Sorry about that cough. Sometimes I get the little tickle in the throat. It just happens. Hey, I also want to let you know I have a daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. You can sign up for that as well at followingthetruth.com. Doesn't cost you anything. All you need to do is supply your email address, and you'll hear from me once each day with a Bible verse and a reflection designed to ease your burdens, designed to put you at peace and to give you hope. Again, that's followingthetruth.com to sign up. Also, you might want to bring me in to speak at your parish or conference. I've managed to book a few speaking engagements, not many so far this year after COVID shut everything down in 2020, midway through Lent. Things have slowly, and I'm going to emphasize that word, slowly been getting back to normal. But boy, we still have a long way to go. But some parishes are starting to open. So In terms of speaking. So if you'd like to consider bringing me in as a speaker for your church or your conference, you can contact me through my website, followingthetruth.com. All right. So I mentioned at the start of the show, this is the second. We're going to look at the second Sunday of Easter, and we'll look at the readings for the second Sunday of Easter. This is also known as Divine Mercy Sunday. So you're going to see some illustrations, some examples of God's incredible mercy contained in these readings. I'm going to highlight those in addition to this theme of believing. Do I really believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? And if I do, how do I respond? How do I respond to that belief? You know, it's one thing to just say, yeah, I believe, but that's not really believing if you don't take action. If I say I believe in Jesus but do nothing in response to that belief, that's not really belief. Belief means not only I believe, yes, I believe Christ was real, I believe Christ existed, but I believe in his message and I'm willing to exercise that belief. In other words, if I believe in him and he's telling me that I have to love my enemy, what do I do about that? If I don't do that, right, then I don't really believe. So there's an action required on the part of believers. So let's do all the readings. We'll start with the gospel like I always do. Let's let the gospel stand above every other reading, which the gospels do. They're important according to the church. They're more important than the other books of the Bible. And that's why I always begin with the gospel on this show. The gospel comes from John chapter 20, verse 19 through 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now, this is that day, that Easter Sunday, when Jesus had risen from the dead, but they weren't sure of that. They didn't know that yet. So they were hiding because they thought, look, they crucified him. They're coming for us next. So these guys were afraid. They were hiding. Jesus came to them. He came even though the door was locked because now he had a risen, glorified body. He was able to pass through the door. I mean, how neat is that? And he said to them, "Peace be with you." You know, that's the one thing they needed. They were not at peace. They were terrified. They were not peaceful at all. But he came to them and gave them his peace. You know, that's our story, too. He comes to us, or he wants to come to us and bring us his peace. But are we willing to accept that peace? Are we willing to let him give us his peace? When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Now, this is where we believe. The church looks at this and recognizes that this is where Jesus instituted the sacrament of confession or reconciliation. He's giving his disciples, really these are the apostles, called disciples here, but they're the apostles, giving them the ability to forgive or retain sins. And this is the basis that we as Catholics have for the sacrament of confession. And this is an example of mercy. See, the Lord is... He wants to free us from the burden of sin, which, you know, if you've ever committed some sort of a serious sin, any sin, really, some worse than others, you feel guilty, you feel miserable, you want relief. And this is what he comes to give. And this is the mercy. He doesn't want to leave us in our misery. He wants to give us peace. That's a gift. That's what mercy is. Mercy is love when it encounters suffering and wants to do something about it. So the Lord sees us suffering, whether it's for just due to anxiety or it's due to sin, and he wants to relieve the burden. Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe. Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. It's pretty amazing that Thomas was not there originally. And as a result, the first time Jesus came, Thomas wasn't there. We saw that in that first a few verses prior to this. Thomas was not there. And therefore, he said, unless I see this, unless I see Jesus with my own eyes, I will not believe. And what did Jesus do? In his mercy, he came back and gave Thomas a chance. This is what you and I need to get out of this, that the Lord wants us to believe in him, and he wants to help us. He doesn't want us to be afraid. He doesn't want us to be overwhelmed by the burden of sin, by the burden of problems. He will give us every opportunity to turn to him. He will continually reach out to us as he did to Thomas. He didn't leave Thomas in his misery, even though Thomas wasn't there. He reached out to him, and he gave him another chance. But then at the same time, he said, You know, Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. You and me, we have not seen Jesus in the flesh. We haven't literally seen him in the flesh, as the apostles did. But if you and I believe, the Lord is really saying that we are blessed. Now, by faith, it's challenging sometime. It's challenging to believe when you don't see. But you've heard the old saying, seeing is believing. But in reality, is seeing believing, or is believing seeing? Now, what I mean, it sounds a little funky, right? But what I'm getting at here is those who believe in their heart, those who believe it in their heart, believe in the Lord in their heart, they're going to see the world differently. They're going to look at coincidences and see them as miracles. They're going to look at healings, and they're not going to attribute the healing to the prescription that you're taking, but they're going to attribute the healing to the Lord who is working through the medicine. You know, if you really believe, you're going to see the invisible kingdom all around you. We do that through faith, and that's why it's so important to keep praying for an increase in faith and to connect with the Lord every day, to make sure that you're having a conversation with him, to make sure that you're receiving the sacraments, to make sure that you're reading about the miracles that he performed in the Bible every day. Because when you do that, your faith begins to grow. And you begin to look at what the unbeliever will say is hopeless, and you begin to feel hopeful. Why? Because you believe, not because you're seeing with your eyes, but because your faith working in you tells you that the Lord can handle this. Believing is seeing. So you can look at things a lot differently when you believe. And you know, if you're a skeptic, we saw this with Jesus and his miracles. Time after time, he'd perform a miracle, and it would be refuted. And yeah, but he did it on a Sunday. He's doing it because of the power of the devil. You know, it's funny. Humans can be so cynical. And I've done this. I have done this, and I'm not happy to admit it. But there are times when I look at things, or have looked at things. I'm getting a little better now. Holy Spirit's been working with me. But I've looked at things and say, yeah, that worked out. But I bet this isn't going to last, right? It's like, can you imagine what Jesus is feeling when he gives me some kind of great answer to my prayer? And I'm thinking, yeah, but it might not last. Anyway, yeah, we drive him crazy. We do. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. We're given everything we need through Scripture. The examples are there. Yeah, he did many more things, but we can find enough in the pages of the Bible to really enable us, by faith, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he's bigger than any problem we can face. And if you struggle with that, ask him for some help. You see what happened with Thomas. The Lord reached out to Thomas, And he came and he gave him some proof. Don't be afraid to talk to the Lord and ask for something. If you need a sign, if he believes you need a sign, he's going to give you that sign. I've seen plenty of them in my life, which will help you to believe more. The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles. You're going to hear a lot of the Acts of the Apostles during the Easter season. This is great because we get to see the establishment and the operation of the early church. And this gives us an idea of what the early Christians were like, how they believed, how they worshiped. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. The community of believers was of one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they had everything in common. With great power, the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great favor was accorded them all. There was no needy person among them, for those who owned property or houses would sell them, bring the proceeds of the sale, and put them at the feet of the apostles, and they were distributed to each according to need. The community of believers, this is how the early believers responded to Jesus. They took care of their own. Because they followed his teachings, there was no needy person. And this isn't forced sharing of your belongings, your possessions. They did this willingly. They did this because they loved the Lord. And he worked through them to provide for the needs of the other people. There's a real lesson here for us. This is how believers respond. You know, do you really believe that your Father in heaven is going to provide for your needs? So much so that you're willing to share some of your money with others in need. A lot of times we don't really believe as much as we think we. And look, I'm really guilty of this. I'm really guilty of this too. So I think this is a lesson for all of us. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 118, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting. Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his mercy endures forever. See, there's that mercy theme, that theme of divine mercy. God is merciful, and he reaches out and helps us when we're suffering. I was hard-pressed and was falling, but the Lord helped me. My strength and my courage is the Lord. He has been my Savior, the joyful shout of victory in the tents of the just. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting. You know, in that first reading, remember, you saw the early community of believers, the early Christians. They took care of one another. And again, that's how God worked through them to provide for the needs of his people. The Lord still wants to do that. But you know, you and me, we can block that. A lot of times you'll hear it say, well, if God's so loving and so kind, and if he really takes care of the needs of his people, why are there poor people in the world? Well, I've heard this many times. I've seen the evidence over and over. There are enough resources in the world for everyone. But we got to share. You know, unfortunately, this is the way God set it up, that he expects us to share what we have, what we've been given from him, with others. And you got a lot of rich people that will not do that. There is enough food for everyone. God does provide. But he allows us to do his work, to work through us so that we can love him through the poor people, for example, you know. So that's what we need to do. But we sometimes just want him to directly provide for the needs of everyone. Well, he does that, but in almost an indirect way. And that first reading is an example of that. So, you know, the responsibility does lie with you and me. The second reading is from the first letter of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Beloved, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten by God, and everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him. In this way, we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. And the victory that conquers the world is our faith. Who indeed is the victor over the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Again, that belief. And it's not just an intellectual belief. It's a belief. And once you believe with your mind, then it's time to act. Because if Jesus is the Son of God, if Jesus really founded a church, then we got to listen to how he speaks through that church and accept that teaching, because that's coming from him. That's what belief is. This is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water alone, but by water and blood. The Spirit is the one that testifies, and the Spirit is truth. So we see that reference to the Holy Spirit. And that's how the church can, with confidence, proclaim the truth. It's because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit guides the church into leading us to the truth. And the Holy Spirit works in us, too. And the Holy Spirit can convict us of our sinful habits. You know, we just came through Lent, and we were asking the Spirit to help us. Well, once the Spirit tells us that there is a problem in our life, that there's something to do, what do we do? Do we just say, oh, yes, I believe I'm a sinner? No, we take steps with the Spirit's help to correct that. So that's what belief is all about, belief and mercy. They're the two main themes that come out of this. Hey, I am just about out of time. I want to thank you for listening to the program. Please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. If you would be kind enough to make a donation or to become a monthly sponsor of my ministry, I would be so grateful. Times are hard right now, especially with not a lot of speaking work available. I'm grateful for all of your support over the past year. If you have not yet contributed and you would like to see my work continue, please consider visiting followingthetruth.com and making a secure donation so that I can continue to spread the good news. Again, if you have questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. I would love to hear from you. I look forward to being with you again next week. You're going to be in my daily prayers. Every day I pray for you, and I would ask you if you'd be so kind to pray for me and my family. That would be awesome and would very much appreciate it. But, you know, keep looking for those opportunities to walk by faith and to believe, even though your eyes don't literally see Jesus in front of you. I guarantee he's there. Blessed are they who have not seen but yet believe. That's the challenge for us, right? Let's be those people, okay? Thanks again for listening. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.